Isaiah, chapter number 26, verse number 20. Greetings, kindred and fellow sheep. We are on a first name basis here. My name is Walter. We have had so many blessings this past week. And I forgot to tell you a couple of them. At Tabernacles, Pastor Dan Gaiman, our host pastor there in Western Missouri. I got there late because Pastor Jerry asked me to do a favor for him. And I saw Shemuel. He was in attendance in his chair. His chair he can move himself around in. He gets a lot of help with that. But his eyes were shining. He was there for morning and evening services. And I wasn't able to put my finger on that look he had on his face and in his shining eyes until I got here today. He was absorbing. And what he has is a heart full of thanksgiving. He was sitting there. I don't know if he can smile or not, but I could tell he was taking it all in, and I thought there's something special about that taking it all in look. What is it? Heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving that he was there and could be with his family. He's the oldest son in the Klingenberg family, if I've got that right. Yeah. And the other blessing I noticed was at the festival. Pastor Ramsey hosting the conference. Very nice sign out front. Faith Baptist Reunion. Since everybody there was baptized, what a right-on sign. And we weren't bothered. We weren't molested. We had a chance to enjoy each other's company with Jesus Christ present. And one of the biggest blessings I got out of that was to watch this balanced program of speakers, including James and Pastor Don, and the pastors from all over this country. I saw them building bonds, talking about calling each other, being in regular communication on a regular basis. You know, when we're being persecuted, I guess our behavior gets better after a while. But that to me was a huge blessing. These pastors have an understanding of what we're going to be facing in the future. A good many of them understand the times we're living in. And I saw them embracing, shaking hands, talking about keeping communications going. It brought joy to my heart. And James, Brother James, thank you for the tie fix. I have had trouble with that all morning. And it feels great right now. Appreciate it. You know, what man among us can see themselves, right? Have you had a chance to take a look at Isaiah chapter number 26 in verse 20? In the Roman Gregorian calendar year of our Lord, Anno Domini in the Latin, 2020, the greater number of state governors declared pandemic emergencies. They issued emergency orders forbidding churchianity from assembling. It did not affect you guys here, for which I praise God. Let us read together out of Isaiah chapter 26 in unison, verse number 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. Quote, hide thyself until the indignation be overpast. Unquote. What is the quote unquote indignation? In Greenville, Mississippi, the police interdicted an assembly of cars on a meeting house parking lot on Palm Sunday, telling pastor and people the governor's emergency order cancels constitutional rights. They issued citations subjecting them to a potential fine of $500. The governor of the state of Maryland issued a proclamation declaring the Easter Bunny an essential industry. True. He did this. I guess he thought it was a joke. Let's go to Zephaniah, the end time prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, toward the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 2, take a look at verse 3. Is there any second witness to God decreeing his people to hide themselves? Do we have second witness to the end time prophet Isaiah? In Zephaniah chapter number 2, we're looking at verse number 3. Let us read together in unison out of Zephaniah chapter 2, verse number 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Quote, it may be ye shall be hid, unquote. Is the end time prophet Zephaniah preaching a sensible sermon? What is the meaning of the name Zephaniah? Quote, Yah has hidden, unquote. Will there be people who do not qualify to be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger? What can we do to qualify as one of God's hidden ones? What is our small part? While the great I Am does his big part. And I had a thought as we were sharing all the blessings together before prayer and during prayer. He has so blessed us. What can we do to bless him? To show our love for what he has already done for us, what he is doing for us now, and what he will do. What is our small part while the great I Am does his big part? How do we know we are among the quote-unquote meek of the earth? Is it because we do the Lord's judgment? If we do man's judgment instead of the Lord's judgment, do we disqualify ourselves from among the quote-unquote meek of the earth? Should we seek his righteousness, not ours? Should we remember we are sheep and seek meekness? Put a mark in Zephaniah chapter 2. We'll be coming back. Mark it. I am so happy to see those of you who have your swords with you, the Word of God, that you are studying along in your swords. These are what you will use, part of our armor in spreading the Word of God. And even if you say nothing, they'll see your example. Psalms chapter 83, verse 3. Let's go to the book of the Songs of God. The book of Psalms, chapter number 83. Are we among God's hidden ones? Will his indignation overpass us? If God's people, the sheep under the protection of the great shepherd, have God's indignation pass over his flock, is that a Passover? Did the Hebrews, Israel, and Egypt have the firstborn live while the Egyptian firstborn died? Are there latter-day Passovers? Do the end-time prophets prophesy an end-time Passover? Do we want the world's blessing or the great shepherd's blessing? We're in Psalms chapter 83. Let us read together in unison verse number 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Who are, quote unquote, they? Look at verses 1 and 2. Against whose people have they taken crafty counsel? Against whose hidden ones have they consulted? Classmates, let's do verses 1 and 2 responsively. Let me read verse 1 while you respond with verse 2. We're in Psalms chapter 83. I read first verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Psalms 83 is known as the conspiracy psalm. Remember, the word piracy is in conspiracy. Is this crafty counsel against God's people? Is this consulting against God's hidden ones? Who are they? Book of Beginnings, Genesis chapter 1. Book of Beginnings in Genesis chapter number 1. If you have your swords with you, you'll get a firmer and wider view as we go through these. Follow me as I read. Let me identify where we're starting. Verse 4. Quote, and God saw the light, that it was good, unquote. Look down to verse 10. And God saw that it was good. Go to verse 12, kind after kind. And God saw that it was good. Look down to verse 18. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21, kind after kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25, kind after kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. If it was good in verse 4, good in verse 10, good in verse 12, good in verse 18, good in verse 21, good in verse 25, and very good in verse 31, then where on God's green earth did God get enemies and them that hate him? Previews of coming attraction. Let's go back to Zephaniah chapter 2. Aren't you glad you kept your mark? Zephaniah chapter 2. We're looking at verses 1 and 2. Let's do these responsively. Let me take verse 1, and would you please respond with verse number 2, classmates. We are in Zephaniah chapter 2. I read first verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Who is the undesired nation? Do our people even hate to think they are Israel? Is that how undesired we are? Are Israelites the offscouring of the planet? Are we called the outcasts of Israel? Should we gather? What are we supposed to bring forth? Look at verse 3. If we bring forth these things in verse 3, shall we be hid in the day of the Lord's anger? Who, hearing the word of God heralded, does not want the plague angel, the pestilence angel, or the death angel to pass over them? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Many of you remember this chapter. Who wants to miss Passover? Is a rhetorical question a question whose answer is this obvious? We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let us read together in unison verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. What time is it? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Remember, the book of Hebrews is in the newer scriptures. Is it time to gather ourselves together, as Zephaniah said? In Hebrews chapter 10, we're looking at verses 24 and 25. Classmates, let's do these responsively. I read first verse 24. Please respond with verse 25. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. I read first verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What time is it? Is it time to assemble? Let's go to Isaiah, end time prophet again, Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to read verse 1. Is it time to assemble, or is it time to enter into our chambers and shut our doors? Is it time, as Isaiah said, to hide ourselves until the indignation be overpast? What time is it? We're looking at verses 1 and 2 in Isaiah chapter 26. Let's do these responsively. Classmates, let me do verse 1 again. You do verse 2. Isaiah chapter 26, I read first verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung. In the land of Judah, that day. What's that day? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. What nation is that? What time is this? Is this the kingdom following upon the second coming? Is this a kingdom song being sung in the land of Judah? In all the perplexities of our day, in all our time of Jacob's trouble, what blessing of assurance can we have that we are kingdom bound? Do we have blessed assurance? Look at verse 3. Let us read together in unison out of Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Feel better? Can we keep ourselves in perfect peace in our own power? According to verse 3, who does the keeping? Amen. God always does his big part. What is our small part? Is our small part that we trust in him? Look down to verse 12. Look down to verse 12. Here's a Sabbath verse if I've ever read one. Well, don't take my word for it. Read it with me and see what you think. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. If we let Jesus do his good works through us, are we in Sabbath? Have we ceased from our own works? What a beautiful picture. If all our righteousnesses are as filthy menstrual rags, how can we ever do our small part? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and put a mark in this. We'll be back to it. Hebrews chapter 4, we're looking at verses 9 and 10. But what if we were to cease from our own works? Let us read together, responsively, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let me take verse 9 and you follow with verse 10. We're in Hebrews chapter 4, I read first verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. What is a synonym for rest? The word rest in verse 9 is translated from Greek word 45:20. Sabbatismos. What is the subject matter of Hebrews 4 here? Look back to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us read together in unison the first verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. What could stand between us and his promise? Look at the first part of verse 3. Let me read that for you. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Could an evil heart of unbelief block our gaining the promise he, quote, left us of entering into his rest, unquote? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. We've been in chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Could that evil heart of unbelief block our ceasing from our own works? How hard is it to cease from our own works? Maggie says, I'm a go-getter. She tries to slow me down. Let us read together out of Hebrews chapter 3 in unison, verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Quote, departing from the living God, unquote. Who is doing the departing? Now we go back to Isaiah chapter 26. Back to the end time prophet Isaiah. Chapter 26, look at verse 21. At what time should we hide ourselves according to Isaiah? Remember verse 20? Isaiah the end time prophet heralded the word of God to his people, Israel, saying, we should hide ourselves until the indignation be overpassed. When should we do this? Look at verse 21. Let us read together out of Isaiah chapter 26 in unison, verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. What time is it? Do we need to know what time it is? Let's go to Mark chapter 13. Second Gospel. The New Testament scriptures, Mark chapter 13, look at verse 32 and 33. When I was a babe in Christ, I got so frustrated with that question, what time is it? If the frustration occurred too close to bedtime, I had to wake up and go to bed. I knew the problem was mine, not God's. I matured. I discovered, even though I could never know the day and hour, I could know the season. Look at Mark chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. Let me take verse 32. Classmates, would you respond with verse number 33? Where in Mark chapter 13, I read first verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 35. Have we noticed something about all these verses we have been reading about the God of Israel's indignation? Is God's indignation the rage of his displeasure with sin? I said the S word, sin. Designed to overpass or pass over his people. Is that what we're learning from the indignation verses? It's designed to pass over his people like it passed over the Hebrews in Egypt. How's that for a caring father? Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation chapter number 3. Chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation are letters addressed to seven churches. And they all have common themes. Picturing what family life is like in exile in a fallen world until God can bring us home. Do we find this providence of God comforting? Do we have the best and true blessed assurance? Look at the letter to the sixth church at Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Let us read that together in unison. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Passover again? Wow! Let's go to Luke 21, verse 36. Having this best comfort, having this true blessed assurance, for what then should we pray? Is it in Luke 21? Let us read together in unison, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Are those for whom salvation is an issue be unable to stand before the Son of Man? But God willing, we will be able to stand before Him. Back to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 13. As we struggle on a daily basis to continue to improve our relationship with the one, quote unquote, with whom we have to do, how does our Heavenly Father take notice in Christ Jesus? Let us read together in unison, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I read that a little differently, didn't I? Than what's in your Bibles. It says, with whom we have to do, to whom... with whom we have to do. The alternate translation is to whom we must give account. What does the word creature mean? Are we creatures? Creature is translated from the Koine Greek word number 2937, ktesis, meaning original formation. Are we God's originals corrupted in the fall? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to be in the second of Peter's epistles, chapter 2. Take a look at verse 9. With all things naked and opened unto God's eyes, what trouble could he possibly do or have doing this? Let us read together our 2 Peter chapter 2 in unison, verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Does God know how to deliver? Is there anything God does not see? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. We're going to be in the second of Paul's epistles to Timothy, chapter 2. When we are in our right minds, why would we fail to improve our private, intensely personal relationship with our Creator, Maker, Redeemer, Savior, and friend, Jesus Christ? If we do, will God move the president to do more? Has Trump said repeatedly at protests, quote unquote, you did it. Does he know instinctively that the better we as a people relate to the God of our fathers, the more he can do? Let us read from 2 Timothy chapter 2 in unison, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What's our small part? Depart from iniquity. What's his big part? He knows we are his. Quote, the Lord knoweth them that are his, unquote. Do we trust him? For those of us who name the name of Christ, how well are we departing from iniquity? Whose idea of good and evil do we trust? Our idea or God's idea? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Back to the book of beginnings, chapter 3, verse 6. Most of us are familiar with this one. It's the uh-oh verse. Did the woman in the garden trust her father? What two choices did she make? Let us read together in unison out of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Was Adam with her when she ate? I see a few heads shaking. I don't think he was. There's some witnesses in the scriptures of that. Was Adam with her when he ate? Oh, yeah. When the woman made her first choice to eat, was she in her forever living body? When she, quote unquote, gave also unto her husband, was she, quote unquote, in the transgression? To her, before she fell, the tree became good, pleasant, and desired. She came to those convictions before she fell. Her seed, her posterity, her children are born in the transgression with her. Is that us? Oh, yeah. Now that we are on earth as the fallen children of the woman, do we reason that we can do any better than her? Is our idea of what is good and what is evil better than our Heavenly Father's idea? If we are supposed to have our quote-unquote senses exercised to discern both good and evil out of Hebrews 5:14, is it wisdom to do that apart from our Heavenly Father? Have we ever caught ourselves thinking iniquity was good? And how many of our family and friends do we see naming the name of Christ and resisting a departure from iniquity because we think it is good or fun for the children or harmless? Uh-oh. Genesis 3:6. Consider the first month of spring in the year of our Lord, 2020. Churchianity was forbidden to assemble in most of the country. Forbidden! How many Easter egg baskets and bunnies, symbols of fertility, were not taken to the meeting house on Easter? Eggs and bunnies are the rank symbols for worship service to the Queen of Heaven, Ashtaroth or Astarte, whose name survives to us down through the centuries in English as Easter. What on earth does Astarte, the Queen of Heaven, have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the righteous, from the grave? How many sunrise services, a rank custom of Baal worship, were canceled? Are these customs ordained for us through Jesus Christ our Lord? Or have devils ordained them to win our worship? Is obedience the highest form of worship? Should we obey demons? When we resist departure from iniquity, what is our stock answer? Do you think, Walter, you might be just a little overboard on ancient stuff that does not even count anymore? We are in the modern era. Get up to date, you old fossil. Just who do you think you're kidding? Not me. Our families have done it for years. These are our traditions. They are harmless. They are fun for the children. And you want to deprive children of the fun of childhood, which they deserve to have? Come on! I know you. You are not that kind of monster! What just happened? What just happened? Did we switch from what Jesus thinks to what man thinks? Is this about pleasing ourselves and our children? Or is this about pleasing the one who died and rose from the grave? Are we saved by his life, resurrection life? Is it possible that we, like the woman, are still eating from the wrong tree? Is the tree of knowledge of good and evil a clever counterfeit of the tree of life? Oh, come on, Walter. Why are you trying to be just some fun-hating, rigid Puritan? All that old stuff is done away. Is quote-unquote that old stuff really done away? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What does it say in verse 20? Did what just happened happen again? Are we back to what man thinks in place of what Jesus thinks? If all that old stuff like devil worship is done away, why does Paul warn Christians against obeying devils? Let us read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in unison, verse number 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Many who name the name of Christ insist they are Gentiles. Is Paul writing to the Gentiles? Many insist they are not the Gentiles of verse 20. So what is the prosecutor's burden of proof? If the prosecutor charges us also, would the burden of proof be the same? Is the burden of proof revealed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Does the Holy Spirit through Paul connect sacrifice to devils with having fellowship with devils? If we are having fellowship with devils, what are we becoming? Does with whom we associate show us who we are becoming? If we are not sacrificing to devils, we are not fellowshipping with devils? Based on verse 20, have we made a sound deduction? Leviticus chapter 19. Look at verse 17. If I were to begin to have fellowship with devils, would they begin to have power over me in this life? If I continue to fellowship with devils for years, could I become utterly and completely powerless against them? How blind would I become to the words of Scripture on the page? How deaf would I become to hearing the word preached? Does faith cometh by hearing? Does hearing come by the word of God? How shall they hear without a preacher? We're in Leviticus chapter 19. Let us read together in unison verse number 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Brother James knows that verse by heart. The fellowship of God's covenant people has members that show each other the love of Christ. You actively pray for each other, support each other, holding each other accountable, and build each other up. You have active ministries to those who wish to attend and cannot because they are barred by things they have no power to change. You, the members of this local body, show faith. In verse 18, let us read together out of Leviticus chapter 19 in unison, verse number 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Many people are shocked to find that the first mention of thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is in the older scriptures, particularly first time Leviticus 19. Verse 18. How do you help me, a blind man, to see? How do you help me, a deaf man, to hear? How much repetition, how much love, how much long-suffering, how much patience, how much meekness would it take? How much work in the vineyard would it take to help a blind man to see and a deaf man to hear? Would it take every one of the items on the fruit of the Spirit list to get it done? Is our big thrill sensing the Holy Spirit moving in the church and in people's lives? Are we in it for the thrill? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Did we say the burden of proof to prosecute me for having fellowship with devils is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? To find me guilty of fellowship with demons, does the prosecutor have to prove I sacrifice to devils? Does he have to prove that? Is all that old stuff done away? Really? Why does Paul say he wishes that we would not have fellowship with devils? Look at verse 21. We're in 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 21. How expensive is fellowship with devils? What is the true cost of fellowship with devils? Let us read together in unison. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. What does cannot mean? There are two cannots in verse 21. What happens to me if I eat the emblem of Christ's body and I am not at the Lord's table? Not at the Lord's table. What happens to me if I drink the emblem of Christ's blood and I am not at the Lord's table? Not at the Lord's table. Imagine being present at the first Lord's Supper in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus stares straight at you or me, aware of our presence. He says, "You have no part with me. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Depart from me, ye teacher of lawlessness." Is example a teacher? What kind of example was I setting? Do we tremble at the word of God? Are we in awe yet? If we are not seated at the Lord's table, at whose table are we seated? Quote, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God," unquote. Are we, quote, the dispersed among the Gentiles, unquote? Is Israel sin in every generation? We like to be like the other nations. Do we get now to have our faces rubbed and smeared in the other nations? Is that a good way to know whose flesh we are in? Is this a good way to know what we act like? Is our land filled with strangers? Do they desire the Republican form of government? Was John Adams right when he said, quote, "The Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Are we now adopting the customs of the strangers? Are these strangers nuts enough to kill a golden goose that lays these golden eggs for them? Are we so insane that we will help them get this done? What kind of Gentiles are we? Does the prosecutor have the evidence to show that I sacrifice to devils? What are the sacrifices to devils? Do I get to decide what sacrifices I want to make? Or am I under Christ's instruction? Does Jesus Christ instruct me to bob for apples in the autumn season? If I am a disciple of Christ, have I agreed to let him, the captain of our salvation, discipline me? Does Jesus Christ instruct me to costume myself in the autumn and masquerade as someone else? Were actors in the day of Shakespeare, the greatest playwright, called hypocrites? Is it one thing to tell a good story, Is it another thing to obey a custom prescribed by someone other than Jesus Christ the righteous? How silly is it for a room full of grown adults to bob for apples? How expensive and time-consuming is it to masquerade? Walter, why are you trying to be such an antisocial freak? Why are you trying to be a step-back, grim-faced, hymn-singing, fun-hating Puritan? Bobbing for apples is fun for the children. Why do you insist on robbing children of their childhood? Do you keep your children sheltered from the world? You will reap a bitter harvest. Is Halloween obvious? What's that Joe Biden says? Come on, man. What does Halloween celebrate? Does it celebrate human sacrifice, especially children, the drinking of children's blood, the oppression and possession of the bodies of victims, leading to the commission of murder, serial rapes, pedophilia, child sacrifice? Is Halloween some kind of joke to be practiced at whim? Does a great deal of time, expense, and sacrifice make the celebration of Halloween a welcome and annual event in America? If we obey and partake of Halloween, are we sacrificing to devils by obeying their customs? Ah, Walter, that is totally illogical and nonsensical. These customs, as you call them, are fairy tale fun stuff. You're taking this way too seriously. You're way out of all proportion. You're an overboard critic. God, you sound like the devil accusing people of crimes they never committed or even intend to commit. Walter, why do you act like a persecutor instead of a prosecutor? Can people with good intentions be deceived? Let's go to Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. I celebrated Halloween for years, the worst offender, until I heard this verse of Scripture preached. Out of Romans chapter 6, may we read together in unison verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Quote, know ye not, unquote. Does Paul think we might not know something? Is there something of which we might be ignorant? Is what we obey our God? Does the devil even care if we know what we are doing so long as he gets the worship? Is Halloween devil worship? Would the devil attempt to impersonate Jesus? Who are we? Are we made for worship? Are we worshiping creatures? Are we creatures capable of worshiping? Is the only question left to decide who or what will we worship? How important a choice is that? Is it, as the verse says, a choice between, quote-unquote, sin unto death, or, quote-unquote, obedience unto righteousness? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The first of Paul's epistles to Timothy, his son, in the common faith. Chapter 4, verse 1. If we name the name of Christ, should we depart from iniquity? Let us read together out of 1 Timothy chapter 4 in unison, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Quote, some shall depart from the faith, unquote. Are doctrines teachings? What do devils teach? Do devils teach men to worship them instead of the true God? Will the dragon refuse to make war on the woman and her seed? Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Take a look at verse 22. Why in all this sacrificing to devils does the Holy Spirit mention jealousy? What does green rage jealousy have to do with fellowship with devils? Let us read together out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in unison, verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Is jealousy a good thing? Is it evil? Is it possible for an husband to have a godly jealousy for his wife? What if his wife detects he does not have a godly jealousy for her? Do a whole lot of unfortunate consequences ensue? Does Scripture say the bridegroom is the Lamb of God? Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Speaks of a future event, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! I hope everybody comes to fellowship dinner after church today that can. You know, when Christians share a meal together, they picture a huge event to come. The marriage supper of the Lamb. How important is that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are reported being seen going into the kingdom and sitting down. Sitting down for what? The meal. If we're not totally nuts, we don't want to miss getting our ticket punched for that event, do we? Quote, let's see, Revelation 21:9. Who is the bride? Is the bride the Lamb's wife? Let us read out of Revelation 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. My wife, Maggie, has her first and eternal husband, Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. I represent Jesus imperfectly to her on earth. What is adultery? Does committing adultery wound the soul of a spouse and shake trust? Does the wounded, shaken spouse feel as if the rug was ripped from underfoot? Is it the unforgivable sin, or does it hurt like it is? Dairy farmers are familiar with a test called adulteration, which means the milk is diluted with a substance of inferior quality. When the marital bond is adulterated, the wounded spouse can become inconsolable. Why does the end-time prophet Malachi call marriage a covenant? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here Paul writes some very important words. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Take a look at verse 2. What if the Lamb's wife is or becomes enchanted and leaves her Lord's table to eat at the table of devils? Let us read out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, in unison, verse number 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Did the woman in the garden, enchanted by the serpent, leave her husband's family tree to eat at the other in the midst of the garden? Is there anything new under the sun? Did Adam forgive her in Genesis chapter 4? Was she forgiven under the sun? S-O-N. is that when Adam begat Seth. Wow. Boy, that was a needed restart, wasn't it? Are we guilty of mixed worship? Are we guilty of adulterous worship? Did Israel engage in mixed or adulterous worship? Is Halloween much older than the first coming of Jesus Christ? If we are just like them, does that tell us who we are? If we're just like Israel of old, does that tell us who we are? Shall we become in every way that quote-unquote chaste virgin Paul wished to present to Christ? In Paul's first epistle to the churches at Corinth, did he preach, quote, ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils? Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. The second of the books of Moses, second book of our Bible, Exodus chapter 34. Look at verse 14. Do our names tell us something of our ancestral selves? Do God's names tell us something of Him? How long ago did God tell us one of His names is jealous? Is that like saying husband? Let us read out of Exodus chapter 34 in unison, verse number 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Will the Lord forgive our adultery? Do we want the forgiveness of our Lord, whom we have wounded so deeply? Should we depart from iniquity and name His name in reverence and honor? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Would you pick up your brown hymnals? I want you to join me in this song. Turn to the selection number for just a closer walk with Thee. This hymn is a prayer. It has the unforgettable opening line, 380, selection number 380. Selection 380. It has those unforgettable opening lines. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Remember that the refrain is sung at the end of each verse.
Through this world of toil and snare, falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is old, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. One more time, the chorus. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Thank you for singing along.